Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise Podcast. It's time to talk about baseball with Bally Sports National Major League Baseball writer David Brown. Dave, how's it going?
Great, Andy. Thank you for having me on. It's going great. Oh, it is. I mean, it's going fine.
Fine. That's probably accurate.
Yeah. I mean, you know, compared to some countries, it's going great.
Yeah.
So
we're going to try something different this week. I actually wrote down some topics might help the home listener. Like, what are they just going to ramble for an hour? We're going to ramble because that's what we do. But they're it's like a path. So it'd be great. And you don't know what any of them are. It's like a really big game show. You're completely in the dark, literally and figuratively. And I'm the only one who gets that joke because I'm the only one who can see it.
Right.
So I thought we would start with my beloved Cubs, the hottest team in baseball, with 4 wins. Let's ignore the fact that they recently lost 17 out of 20 games. We'll just pretend that didn't happen. But they've won 3 series in a row now. And how about this stat? As we're recording right now, we're heading into, I believe, the bottom of the 8th in the third game of the series with the Pirates. They have played this is the 9th game that the Cubs and Pirates have played this year. There's going to be math involved in this, so hold on to your butt. The first 8 games, both teams have won 4 times. Including tonight, the Cubs have outscored the Pirates 51-22.
It's sort of it's, you know, if you like run differential, you don't want to talk about this.
Now, this is not the first time this has happened to the Pirates. It's happened rather famously once. They were outscored in a World Series 55-27 and won the World Series.
Was that the Orioles World Series?
It was not that one, but
71.
So that was 1960. That was the Bill Mazeroski walk-off, where the Yankees would just obliterate them in their losses, and then they would squeak out wins in the wins. But apparently, they have played in 5 World Series, or maybe they've played in 7 and won 5. I believe in the World Series they've won, they have only outscored the opponents twice. It's like a thing. It's like a Pirates thing. They let you just deluge them in the games they decide they're not going to try to win.
If you're going to lose, I mean, you might as well go all out.
There's a big game going on YouTube right now with the Cubs and the Pirates. Third place in the NL Central is on the line. Cubs passed the Pirates yesterday, but they're only a half game up, so they'll slip back down. The loser will have the 4th worst record in the National League. But we talked about him last week. And I'm going to talk about him again because it's something Rick Sutcliffe talked about over the weekend. He did both series last week for the Cubs.
And tried a bunch.
Sorry.
That's right. We can watch and listen at the same time. And the Cubs were beating the Diamondbacks, and Rick was getting pretty giddy, and he made a prediction that the Cubs were going to be buyers at the trade deadline.
He said that. Huh?
He said that. And he even went as far as to say, this is not unlike, remember in 2016 when they traded for Aroldis Chapman and they were able to do it because they had Gleyber Torres? Now they got a whole system full of Gleyber Torreses and they can get whatever they need. I was worried. I don't know who, is there a hotline that you call when you think someone on television is having an aneurysm?
I don't know. I mean, you know, Rick's had some interesting, as we've, I'm sure, talked about, moments in the booth in his life.
Yeah. Just a little
worried. It doesn't seem like they do. I mean, they're not going to trade Brennan Davis, you know, or somebody like that. I don't, I don't think they have a whole bunch of Glabers. I really don't.
Well, it was funny. I was thinking, what would they like? What trades would they need to make to actually become a contender? And they need to. They seriously would need to add like a dozen frontline players.
A dozen.
A dozen, because this is a team that really is Seiya and not much else. They do have some parts. They're clearly going to be sellers. I mean, that's the whole plan. And Jed Hoyer was on The Score in Chicago today, and they were asking him stuff about, Wilson Contreras is having an excellent season, and what are we going to try to? How come you're not trying to sign him to a contract extension? He's like, well, Wilson doesn't want to talk about one during the season, and I don't want to talk about it either. It's basically, no, we're not re-signing the 30-year-old catcher. As good as he might be, we think he's worth more to us and what we can get for him than with him. And I don't know. My take on this has always been that if you're going to sign an older catcher, Wilson's not a bad guy to do it with because he didn't become a catcher until, fairly recently, like
Yeah, he doesn't have
20.
the old achy knees.
Right. Now, both Joe and David Ross over the last few seasons have been giving him the Randy Hundley treatment and basically making him catch every day. So maybe they're trying to catch up. But Wilson always strategically has a hamstring pull every season that costs him like 6 weeks. So he gets to rest his legs. In fact, he may just be faking. I don't think so. But so I was thinking about this. It's always dangerous when I think about this stuff. And this is just not just apply to the Cubs. It would apply to any team that is like, man, we're not going to do anything this year. When do you think the earliest you can start selling players is? Because if I'm the Cubs, like David Robertson, who just came off the COVID list, has been great for them.
Right.
And it's like, can we trade him before he's not great? Can we just hurry up and do it now? There's always been the thing, well, the earlier you trade for a guy, the more value you get out of him. Because you get him for longer. But then I suppose the other side of that is the more the other team expects to get from you, and the cost may be more than you are willing to pay. But we typically don't, you don't really see much until like the All-Star game seems like about the first time teams will make those kinds of deals.
Right.
Like the Cubs trading Jeff Samardzija before the All-Star game. And then poor Jeff had to wear the Craig Hodges non-denominational uniform and stand and wave at the camera because he wasn't a National Leaguer anymore and he couldn't play for the National League. So I just wonder if you're Jed and you're like calling around going, hey, look at these guys. Huh? Aren't they great?
Well,
They'd
as
look
we've
great
talked
on
about.
your team.
As we've talked about in a different context, there have been this has been sort of a year where there's been trades already, and it's not for this reason, but perhaps the weirdness of the off season, and so that's the only thing, has that moved things forward a little bit that they've been talking trade, they've been executing trades. Will that make it easier to trade? Maybe. So, I would say, maybe they want to sneak in before the All-Star game. So we're looking at instead of the 31st of July, maybe we're looking at the 4th of July.
Yeah, like the Giants and Mariners make a couple of trades a week just for the
Right.
hell of it, it seems like.
Well, Jerry DePoto, I think, is an addict. He likes the transactions.
Yep, apparently
He's
he
a
just
transactional.
apparently Farhan will always answer. So they just end up, it's very clear they're just like using each other to manipulate their 40-man rosters.
Right.
Just like, okay, I got a spot because we had to put this guy on the 60-day D on the 60-day IL. I could park this guy over here for a while, and then in a couple of weeks, we'll figure out what else we need, and we'll make another trade.
Right.
That's what Jed needs. Jed needs a trading buddy. I wonder if we could line him up with Theo. It was always just the Rangers. Just
Yeah.
call the Rangers. You couldn't. The Cubs pitching staff was all former Rangers for a while.
John Daniels sort of looks like he could be related to Theo,
Yeah,
so.
it's like he's called his little Theo's just calling his little brother. Johnny, do me a favor.
He had some success with Rick Hahn. So, I mean, Wilson Contreras isn't really a match with the White Sox, but, David Robertson could be. He's
Yeah,
had
and
those
they've
talks before.
right. He's already, he knows the route to US Comiskey, or whatever it's called. No, guaranteed
That's it.
rate.
That is what it's called.
US Comiskey. Yeah. Yeah, he's been there. He knows where his locker is. That'd be good. I having a catcher, it's a pretty valuable thing to trade because there aren't a lot of good ones, and sometimes good ones get hurt. But knowing the Cubs, they'll hang on to him just too long, and he'll be the one who gets hurt, and they won't be able to get anything for him, and then he'll give him the finger on his way out the door in early October.
It'll be caught on CRT. The CRT? Like that's is that cr that's critical race theory.
Yeah,
No.
that well, he could be caught on that too.
Yeah. Whatever those are. Not remote control cameras. That doesn't matter.
It's fine. Doesn't matter.
Security cameras.
It's happened before. It happened to Sammy.
Right. That's what I'm
Yeah, that's what you're referencing.
referencing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Sammy wasn't giving anybody the finger though. Sammy was
I mean, it
doing the.
was a figurative
You know
thing.
how Sammy got caught? I guarantee this is how Sammy got caught. Every camera he walked by, he had to stop and do them blow kisses to it on his way out.
Right.
Took him 20 minutes to get down the hallway. Like, is he still here? See you, buddy. So Jed said, I like the way he put this. He said the Cubs will remain tethered to reality in assessing their competitive window. In other words, yeah,
That was works.
it was a word salad. It was, I know Rick thinks we're going to make the playoffs. We don't, and we're not going to make moves to try to be the seventh wild card team
Based on Sutcliffe's
when we won't be anyway. And even if we were,
guts. Guts.
what is the point of that? One of the frustrations as a Cub fan, though, is this the retooling. Yeah, not rebuilding, they're retooling. Is that there's just so much crap on this team. So much disinteresting. It's not going to be here, has no chance of being here when they're good stuff. Like, Andrelton Simmons just finally got off the injured list. No Cub fan gives a shit about Andrelton Simmons. I mean, it's fine that, unlike Ildamaro, when a ground ball is hit to shortstop now, someone will catch it. That's nice.
Yeah.
But what's the point? Why do we have him? What is it doing for us? It's even with the fantasy campers of first and third with Wisdom and Schwindel. It's like, to me, the surest sign that they're making progress will be when they actually just send Frank away. And like, okay, we don't need you, a sub replacement level first baseman hanging out on our team. So yesterday they had to call up. They had a flurry of undesignated injured list placements because for some
Right.
reason they can't tell you it's COVID. And they brought up two guys. They brought up lefty reliever Brandon Hughes, and they brought up super utility man Christopher Morel. I'm sure you saw Christopher Morel. I
I
shouldn't
did.
say I'm sure, but pretty much the world saw him because
You're right. I did.
he hit a bomb in his first major league at bat. It falling behind 0-2, worked the count full, hit a home run, practically disrobed at home plate. He was throwing everything in the air, missed first base,
He
had to
did.
turn around, went back.
Good coaching there,
Yes, that's
I
right.
would assume.
Yeah, turned around, went back, got to the dugout, did a curtain call that nobody asked for, which was great.
Right.
Turns out Wilson told him to do it. So he fell for it and popped up out of the dugout, and the fans were like, "Who's that?"
Oh, yeah. The home run from a moment ago.
And Brandon Hughes struck out the first four batters that he faced.
That totally got buried. That's great.
And struck out all he got five outs, and they were all strikeouts. He has yet no one has put the ball in play against him yet in Major League Baseball.
Could be sustainable.
And I was going to criticize David Ross. Far be it from me. Because Hughes came into the game because Daniel Norris hurt himself while he was pitching. His Achilles went, whoops. Turns out he did not tear it. He did not even strain it. He was apparently is available tonight, but it cramped up on him and he came out of the game. And I just thought to myself, well, I want to talk to you about this because someone has suggested this, maybe the great Bobby Valentine, but someone has suggested it's really uncomfortable for a reliever to come in to replace an injured pitcher because you warm up on the mound, on the game mound, with everybody watching you, and you feel like you just need to hurry up because you're literally holding up the game. You're standing there, everyone's staring at you, and you're trying to get loose. And I think it was Bobby, right about the same time he invented the rap, he decided he invented this. Why don't you just let the guy warm up for a while in the bullpen, like normal, and then come out and get your 7 or 11, however many you get when you first come into the game, and then just go. Why do you come out? It's not like the fans sit and watch the guy warm up, like, woo, this is fun. They're not paying attention. They might as well just leave let the guys, lay in the grass for a while the guy warms up. So anyway, I thought, man, this is a tough spot for a rookie in his major league debut to come in completely cold and have to warm up on the game mound with everybody staring at him, like, all right, buddy, let's go.
Right.
We're bored. And it affected him so much that he struck out the first four guys that he faced. So, good point.
That's why these guys are pros. They tune all that stuff out. I mean, sometimes they don't, but they do have that gene or whatever where
Do they
you don't
all,
have the performance anxiety.
when they're on the mound, do they all go clear the mechanism?
Yes. With Madison Bumgarner, that's a snot rocket with, it depends on the guy, but yeah, they do. I mean, we're joking. Wasn't there? This is reminding me of something from earlier in the year. Did we talk about it, or the whole what was it? Was it an Astros? Maybe it was. Oh no, this was. I think this was last year in an Astros playoff series. Somebody came in and. It was Jake Odorizzi, I think. And so this anecdote doesn't really apply, but
That's fine. That's a nice guy.
once McCullers got hurt, I want to say. I'm misremembering some facts, but the one guy got hurt. Odorizzi came in and he took forever to warm up. And people were like, let's go already. And it was just, he's a starting
Yeah.
pitcher. And they were on, and it took 15 minutes for him to warm up in front of everybody. And somebody suggested, well, why don't they just let him warm up in the bullpen?
It was probably Bobby Valentine.
It might have been Bobby Valentine, but I will say this. I've taken my kids to a bunch of baseball games lately, and we have sat by the bullpen in the first row in Kauffman Stadium. You can look down, and there they are. And pitchers will get up a lot of times, pitchers who think maybe they're going to come in, and they'll get those bands. And they'll hook them up to the fence, and they'll start like doing rowing exercises, and
Yeah.
they'll be so that there is something to maybe not even the mental part of it, but there is a part of the physical preparation that when a guy, oh, I got to go in, and he's not ready for it, and it's whatever early, there's perhaps something there
Yeah.
that they don't do because they have to do everything on the mound, where you can't hook up bands to anything. It's not a bullpen. That's different. So.
Well, I don't think we're ever have to worry about this again, but imagine if Trevor Bauer was your the guy coming in and he has to go down to the bullpen and get out the big flappy javelin thing, like the guy
Yes.
from Lambda Lambda Lambda. You gotta warm up with that for a while. Then he's gotta get somebody and they gotta go out on the field and throw long toss 400 feet for like 20 minutes.
It's funny how much this is like that somewhat related Jake Odorizzi anecdote that I just talked about because people made that joke last year when Jake Odorizzi came into the game. Oh, it's a good thing this isn't Bauer because. So it's just funny how we all kind of we not we all don't think of the same thing, but you know what I mean. It's funny to me.
Well, I only steal from the best. So
Yeah, it's
whoever
kind
made
of
those jokes, I'm stealing
yeah.
them from them now.
It's not, it's like when something really important is invented and it happens in two different places in the globe at the same time, you know, like Louis Pasteur or whatever. It really, there's a, it's a phenomenon where something gets invented and it happens simultaneously in France too. Look it up. It's a real thing. So it's not so much stealing, but it's, I don't know if it's a psychic energy, but
Oh, it
all
could be.
working for the same goal.
I'm full of psychic energy, so that's
Right.
probably what it was. But anyway, so I guess I let David Ross off the hook because he didn't screw up Brandon Hughes' debut. So what's your feeling on this? Because we've been having the Cub fans been having a lot of chat about this. Like, it's only going to get worse as the Cubs. I guess my point was it was nice to see the Cubs call up two guys who you think might actually be part of a
Yes.
good Cub team at some point.
Not dead weight.
Right. Not, hey, let's see,
Yet.
let's play Jonathan VR at shortstop again. Let's see how that's working. It's like, oh, poor Jonathan. He's if you put a plate of ribs on either side of him, he'd get to it, but otherwise he's not going to move real fast. And as they continue, hopefully, to bring up guys, our good friends of the Marquee Sports Network, they love nothing more than to find the debuting rookies' parents in the crowd and chat with them for an interminable amount of time.
Yes.
And that the game on Tuesday basically turned into for a good it seemed like 2.5 hours in the middle of the game, the only people that were on were Taylor McGregor and Brandon Hughes' mom.
Right.
And they I mean she got baby pictures out and I mean when they got to the ultrasound it was like, oh, we knew it was going to be left-handed. Look at this. It's like, no, we don't want to hear any of that. So, and then and tonight on the YouTube game, Jake Suwinski, a Chicago area kid,
Yeah, that's right.
the Taylor had interviewed. We knew Jake Suwinski's dad from yesterday because they spent a good 15 minutes with him. Well, he was on the YouTube. He was basically the third man in the booth for the YouTube broadcast tonight, and Jake hit a home run, which ended up being the game-winning run. But what is your feeling on the interviewing of the parents during the game? What does it add to the game?
Well, it obviously depends on how, how excitable the parents are, the stories they can tell. I am a sucker for it in concept, but it's always something that seems like a better idea than it does in idea than execution. I come from, I was a writer for the Northwest Herald. So I talked to parents a lot, and it was in their interest to be nice to me, I guess. But it was, that family side of things, it obviously gets overdone sometimes, and sometimes you don't have the right personalities doing it. But you talked about it, Kyle, you alluded to it, how, well, maybe these guys are going to be part of the team. Good time to go to, Brandon Hughes' mom and or whatever, and Jake Suwinski's dad, wrong team, but you get what I'm saying.
Oh, they didn't care. Taylor was all over Jake Swinski's
Right.
dad.
But in the case of the Cubs, if these guys are going to be part of the team, maybe let's hit it full. And baseball games are, I hear a lot of people complain about like the Apple broadcast, and they're talking about everything but the game. And it's like, games are 3 hours long. There's 162 per team. I don't know that you always have to be talking about baseball. So maybe conceptually speaking, it's not a bad idea. And I like what you're saying about how maybe these guys will be part of the future. So, Cubs fans now can say, yeah, I remember when his mom was on. And it takes a certain amount of sentimentality to and not be too cynical about it, but it's I see what they're doing.
I think I certainly became sensitive to it last year with the Cubs because the Cubs signed Trevor Williams and his dad, Richard, who I think is probably more famous for being Venus and Serena's dad than
I was
Trevor.
wondering if you would make the joke, and you did. You
Will
came through.
Smith did a great job, I thought, in the movie.
Right.
So they interviewed Richard before Trevor's first start, and Richard had an actual Cub tie. He worked one summer as a vendor at Wrigley Field. Well, that's kind of neat. That's fun. But oh my God, every time Trevor pitched, we had to get 10 minutes with Richard Williams. And even when they weren't interviewing, they were showing him in the crowd. It's like, we don't really care. I'm sorry. This was great. It's supposed to be 15 minutes, not 15 starts of fame. That's about all Trevor lasted with the Cubs. But my favorite part of it was, though, that Trevor was fascinated by the fact that Richard had, and this turned out to be a terrible idea of his, he had plotted out, based on a 5-man rotation, all of Trevor's starts. And as he said, he had plane tickets. Bought
He
plane tickets to all those cities. Well, Trevor ended up in Iowa for a while and then in the bullpens. That didn't really work out all that great for him. But I put this in the column the other day. My favorite moment of this last year was PJ Higgins, catcher. Cubs used a million backup catchers last year. I think 11 of them. Ended up bringing back Robinson Chirinos, a guy they had literally drafted 20 years before he made his Cubs debut. 20! PJ Higgins made his major league debut, and Taylor found the Higginses in the crowd, and she was interviewing them, and Dad Higgins wanted no part of this. He was trying to watch. She was interviewing while PJ was batting, and he was pissed. And at one point she said, "Are you going to follow the team to wherever they're playing next?" And he looked at her and he's like, "Don't you have a schedule? Like you don't know where they're going next? You're going." It was great. He was so pissed. That ended that interview, but they didn't stop him. They continued to do them.
Yeah, so yeah, it sounds
I
like
guess
maybe
I'm
they're
for I'm
leading into it a little too hard.
Well, I'm for the well, Marquee. Marquee has like three moves, and that's all they do. They just hammer them over and over and over again.
Right.
And every night is parent night on Marquee Sports Network.
Yeah, I guess I didn't realize that, you asked me what I thought of the whole concept, bringing the parents back for every appearance. No, I mean, if they have another relative who's interesting to talk to, maybe go to
That's right.
Uncle
Or
Richie.
just make it fun. Bring back like ex-girlfriends. So what's he really like?
Right.
You guys went to prom? Where did you go to Red Lobster? What did you get? Taylor, come on. Let's go for that. Do you like those Cheddar Bay biscuits? Those are good. What do you think? Do you think they make it from scratch? I think they're frozen.
Can get the recipe on the internet.
You can get the actual biscuits. The pre-made frozen ones that you just like, and they're good.
I think I've seen them in
Yeah.
the grocery counter. You
Back
know
when
what?
I
On that note, this is, I mean, if there's a sponsorship out there, I had my birthday, and one of the things that I
Oh, happy
wanted was a
birthday.
Portillo's cake. And so my wife made the, has the directions, the instructions, the recipe, that's the word.
The instructions. Yeah, well, same thing.
Yes. And so I'm into that recreating your own restaurant food at home
I could
thing.
mail you one if you want. I run
Eight?
over and get one. I'd call Dick Portillo and see, if he'll ship you one. And he
Right.
would have. But how was it? Was it close?
Yes, it
That's
was
good.
close.
Oh, that's a good skill to have.
Yes.
I'm impressed.
And I also asked for, I don't, maybe this, am I, do I miss Chicago? Maybe. I asked for Chicago's pizza. I love, my favorite pizza is the stuffed spinach pizza from Chicago's Pizza. And it's a Malnati's-ish kind of thing. And so they send you like two of them frozen for something ridiculous, like $80. I mean, it's
Yeah.
just something you do once a year at that price. And, man, that was good stuff. Reminded me of home. So I'm into, making your own Chicago restaurant food, or just ordering it freeze dried and thawing it out and experience.
Does it come in dry ice? Do you get to like, does it open it up and it all just like all the
You
stuff
expect it to.
wafts out?
It's that, I don't know what it is. It's those cube-like things that are frozen. Maybe it was dry ice at one time, and it's in a box that looks like it would be dry ice, but I don't know. What does dry ice look like when it's not? I don't know. It's
It's like an ice, but dry.
then yes.
That's what I've been told. Yeah, I had a girlfriend who was originally from Lincoln, Nebraska. I don't know which one of the Ricketts kids she was, but for Christmas one year, she got my parents. She bought the Omaha Steaks. The sent
Yeah.
them the package you get, and it came in dry ice. And my dad was super impressed.
You're right.
Oh, it didn't even have to be anything in the crate. Just
Yeah.
the show that the dry ice put on when he opened it was enough.
Yes.
Yeah, he was very excited about that.
That's a very dad thing to get excited
Yep,
about.
yeah, the presentation was enough. He didn't even. I don't think he ever commented on the meat. So the big rumor du jour today is compliments of our friend Buster Olney. Did you see this today? That he says the industry chatter is that the Nationals are considering trading Juan Soto.
That was Buster, huh? I did see the rumor, but I didn't see that it started there.
That was Buster. As I told people, if Buster's right, it'll be the first time.
It does, that sounds right, yes.
Yes. And
At
someone
one time.
pointed out one of the reasons he's had an axe to grind for the Cubs for a long time. And one guy I think was correct when he's like, he got a bunch of like bogus info from whoever his Cub sources were for a while, and it pissed him off. And so he basically just trashes
Funny.
the Cubs and everything. They made me look like an ass. Screw them. I hope they never win another game.
Personal Buster Vendetta.
You don't pull the wool over Vermont's favorite dairy cow milker, whatever. I forget. Mike Greenberg always used to say what Buster's real name was every time he introduced him, and I forgot what it is. It's something.
That's not coming to mind at
It's not
all.
really Buster. You'd be shocked to know his first name is not actually. Legally, it's not Buster.
Clarence.
It's something bad. Yeah. I mean, would you go by Buster if he had a good first name? No, you wouldn't.
Oh, I one thing I'm sort of a oh man, okay. It is Robert Stanberry
That's what it
Buster Olney
was.
the third.
Yeah, that was the Stanberry part. That was the he always introduced him as Robert Stanberry Olney. The third, I'm sure. What was Terrence Stansberry? Remember him? He used to be in the NBA, the slam dunk contest all the time. He played
Yes,
for the Sonics.
he liked to do the 360.
I believe he did the
And the
Statue of
paint
Liberty
was good
dunk,
pieces too.
which was not a great dunk. It was basically like the James Worthy one in a dunk contest. Nobody's giving nobody's giving you a 10 for that, Terrence.
Not anymore. That's very old-fashioned.
So Juan Soto is 23 years old. He will not be a free agent until after the 2024 season. He currently makes $17.1 million. He'll make considerably more than that in his next 2 years of arbitration, but he's also like really, really, really good. If you're the Nationals, if this rumor was true, does that mean you do not intend to contend through 2024? And even if you do, you're like, well, we're not going to be able to afford Juan Soto.
I mean, they need to. I don't know about those owners in Washington. They're kind of weak. The learner's permit. But yeah, I mean, you're getting to the point where thinking like a baseball team. He's not as great as he is. If he makes $25 or $30 million a year in arbitration, which is what it's getting to, what kind of value is that? But then again, the way I would say is. Well, you get $30 million of value out of one guy. That's
Right.
pretty good. But
Well, and you figure, what should a team like the Nationals should be spending upwards of $200 million on payroll?
yeah.
Maybe $250 million. That's 10%. If you're paying your best player 10% of your payroll, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So suck it up and pay him. Because yeah, you could trade him. You can get four guys for him, and then be like, you know what we could really use on this team? We could use a Juan Soto. Well, you had one, but you traded him for.
Right.
I mean, I'm still scarred from the Cubs not bothering to up their offer to Greg Maddux, and then using all that money to sign, like the great Jose Guzman and
Jose
Candy
Guzman.
Maldonado, and go, look at all these guys, Dave Smith, look at all the guys we got. Yeah, and they're
Right.
all bad, and you don't have Greg Maddux, and he's going to win three more Cy Youngs in a row, and you fucked yourself. So congratulations, you saved some money. And now, guess what? Every time a team does this, they end up spending more money on worse players. It
Yeah.
always ends up happening. The course correction is always worse than just keeping the really good guy in the first place.
Right. Yeah, there's a people have looked at this, and when you spend the money on the really, really good players, it's almost always worth it. It's like the mid-range guys that you overshoot on that
Jason
you sort
Hayward.
of the Jose Guzman, Dave Smith, Candy Maldonados. Those guys, those are the guys that you regret. And that, you use that as an example, but that tends to be more the norm. So.
It was the, I don't want to say I love, I really like Jim Hendry. I was dead. He seemed like a cool guy. He got the Cubs to the playoffs,
Yep.
multiple times, which nobody,
Better than a lot of GMs have done.
but Jim's biggest problem was he would pay a good player like a great player and expect them to become a great player. And it's like,
Right.
no, putting an extra zero on the paycheck doesn't make them better. It just means you paid more for them. And
Yeah.
that was, I'm sure people have heard me talk about this ad nauseum, but that to me was the biggest disappointment when the Cubs signed Jason Hayward, even at the time, was that was Theo doing the thing that Theo was never supposed to do. And that was paying this guy
Yeah.
because they're like, oh, he's good now, but he's going to be great. And it's like, no, he's probably not going to be great. We're paying him like he's great. I mean, that whole deal, the Cubs put an opt out for him after the third year, and they were convinced he was going to be so good that they would never, it was a 3-year contract to them. Well, guess what? They're going to pay every cent of that over 8 years because he's bad. And he's not, he refuses to leave. They, now he holds all the cards. They can't trade him to anybody. Actually, that's a good question. I'll have to consult with Bob Nightingale because soon he's going to have to tweet out a post congratulating Jason Hayward on his 10th year of service time. And that means the Cubs can't trade him to anybody because he currently has a limited no trade. He can block X amount of teams.
Right.
But this is going to be his 10th year, and he will have more than five of them with the Cubs, and they won't be able to trade him anymore. Not that, honestly, his play in his contract is a no trade clause all by itself, but still.
It is.
But it's funny, that this rumor flies that every team is like, ooh, what could we put together to get Juan Soto? And it was funny, Cub fans are, we can't help ourselves. And we're already seeing Cub fans, other Cub fans are like throwing out like every one of their prospects.
Yeah.
Give him this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy. And there are other Cub fans going, oh my God, no. You can't, Nelson Velasquez, you can't trade him. It's like, guys, are we gonna, we can't, I'm too old to go through all this again. You trade any of them. Put them all in a box. Put them in a basket. Put them on the, what river was it that, no, they put Moses in. Just send them down the river with the,
The river, it's not the Nile, was it?
it could be. No.
Jordan, Jordan.
Yes, there you go. Yeah, good. See? Biblical scholar. Who knew?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. I think we talked about Bryce Harper and his Tommy John disease.
Don't pick up your elbow for 4 weeks
Pretty
or
much.
four.
But you swing as hard as you want at baseballs. It's a completely different
Right.
motion. It's like underhand. You'll be fine.
I don't get that either, but
It seems to be a thing, though. I remember Shohei got to bat for a whole year
he did.
after he got his Tommy John disease treated. Well, I should ask you, do you know why I call it Tommy John disease?
I don't remember if I
Chip Carey called it that accidentally during the game.
Yeah.
He said some guy had Tommy John disease. He didn't say he caught Tommy John disease, but he said he had Tommy John disease, which I enjoyed very much.
Yeah.
Yes, it's also,
See, you talk about earlier, you mentioned, maybe it's worth it to have the parents on all the time for those moments when things go horribly wrong. Like, don't you have a schedule? Or, Tommy John
Tommy John
disease.
disease.
I know Chip isn't a parent, but same
No.
thing.
But you know the famous Chip story about when he was a kid. It's a terrible story, which I'd love to tell. He told it, so I feel like it's fair. So he was a kid playing playing Little League baseball in St. Louis. And because I guess he was living with mom, not with Skip. And Harry, his grandpa, came to the I in my mind I was picturing it's like one of those things where there's multiple games going on at once. And Harry Carey's there. Here's Grandpa. He's there. And Grandpa didn't know who Chip was.
Oh my
It's a
God.
horrible story. Scarred poor Chip for life. As we hear all the time. I had a clip ready to embed. It was great. The Braves were playing in Milwaukee the other night, and there was a little line drive hit in front of Ozzie Albies. Did you see it? Ozzie tried to let it drop and scoop it up and start a double play. And Chip was going on. Chip was, I thought, completely confused because he's like, no, he caught that. And I was like, clearly, I'm like, well, no, the ump is right there. Of course, the ump thought, yeah, Chip was right. Ozzie tried to short hop it, but it hit his glove. It didn't hit the dirt in front of his glove. So I'm like, oh, don't get to use that. Sorry, Chip was right. No fun in that. Probably not real fair for me, but still, that's what happened.
Chip and Joe Carter didn't overlap, did they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is a dream team. They famously, do you remember the, and we talked about this on Remember This Crap about how, the Cubs don't play the Rockies that much, but the Cubs have had some ridiculous games with the Rockies, some wild comebacks, and they erased huge leads. The 2008 Cubs were down 9-1 in the sixth and came back and beat them. And all Cub fans remember 2015. The Cubs had been playing pretty well. They got to the trade deadline, didn't make any real moves. They got Dan Heron and Tommy Hunter, and everybody was like, ugh. Mostly because they were trying to trade for Craig Kimbrell, and the Padres had him at the time, and they were insisting on Javi Baez, and the Cubs wouldn't do it. But anyway, either right before the deadline, they got no hit by Cole Hamels. They hadn't been no hit for year for decades, and things were slipping away. And the Cubs blew a lead against the Rockies late, and Chris Bryant hit a walk-off home run, and the Cubs took off like a shot. They won like 20 of the next 24 games. We all remember that. But one of my favorite Cubs Rocky games ever was in 2001, and the Cubs rallied in the ninth inning, and there was this ridiculous botched defensive play by the Rockies. I believe Joe Girardi was the hitter. Anyway, Ricky Gutierrez was kind of wandering off of third base. The Cubs somehow tied it on the play, and Ricky Gutierrez was wandering around third base and looked up and didn't think anybody was covering, and took off, and he was going to be out dead to rights. And the throw beat him, and Chip yelled, "He's out!" Just as he was being called safe. The Cubs win. It was great for that. He's out, safe, whatever. Fans will also remember that that was the game when Steve McMichael got thrown out of the game singing the seventh inning stretch by
Was the
Angel
same
Hernandez.
game.
That was the same night.
Wow, I remember that. I was there for that.
The guys on the call for that game, Chip Carey and Joe Carter. And Joe was also no help during the wild. I mean,
No.
it was a crazy final play. The ball was flying all over the infield. The Rockies should have won. Then it should have just been tied. Then the Cubs won. But those two were no match for the moment. So yeah, they were together for a while.
Ricky Gutierrez also with the Cubs longer than I remember.
Ricky Gutierrez suffered my all-time favorite injury by a Cub. He was running to first base, pulled his hamstring, fell down, and separated his shoulder. So, oh, Man, when things go bad, Ricky, they go bad. Because other cups, I mean, Sammy obviously ruptured, or didn't rupture, but he slipped a disc in his back sneezing in the locker room in San Diego. That's a good one. Two other great Cub injuries, though, happened one before and one after they were Cubs. Glen Allen Hill, remember that? He had a nightmare that spiders were chasing him, and he was in his hotel in the Sky Dome, and he crashed through
Table.
the coffee table and hurt himself. And Henry Cotto was cleaning his ears with a Q-tip in the dugout at Yankee Stadium, and somebody bumped into him, and he ruptured his eardrum.
Oh, I love Henry Cotto. One of my all-time favorite Cubs.
Cub reliever Brandon Morrow famously hurt his back, taking his pants off in his closet at home. He was trying not to wake his wife, and he closed the closet door to get ready for bed, and somehow hurt his back and fell down in the closet. And she finds him, sprawled in the closet with his pants around his ankle. Probably not the first time she found Brandon like that.
Again.
Oh, you're making a at least you're home this time, Brandon. Did you see the thing last week where for like Asian American night at Citi Field, they invited like the some dignitary to throw out the first pitch. And he's all excited. I'm sure he was practicing at home and he was doing all this stuff. And him and the I probably Mr. Met. I don't know who was gonna catch it. They go to run out to do it before the game, and Max Scherzer is already on his way to the mound, and Max would not let the guy throw out the first pitch because he was, too into, I'm ready to go. And the poor guy like runs out. And he kind of stands in front of the mound for a minute, looks at him, and then just runs off the field. It's like, Max, come on. It's May. Did you have to be? This is not a September pennant race game. You don't have to be a dick all the time.
Too early for beast mode.
Yeah, I felt bad for that guy.
I didn't. I now I did not actually see this. I need to go see it.
The
I can't
video that
believe
they
he's
show
still walking.
is like from the ballpark cam that MLB Network uses, where you're up, and it's really
Yeah.
funny. You can see the whole thing develop. Like you see Max heading to the mound, and this guy, and like the events lady, she's got the headset on. She's talking to whoever, so they can get his stuff up on the scoreboard, and he gets out there, and Max is glaring at him with the two weird eyes, and he just turns around and runs off the field. Like, never mind.
Like the droid on the Death Star when Chewbacca scares
Yeah, just backs up. It was kind of like Steve Aoki, the first pitch he threw out at Fenway. Did you see that? He threw it over the
Yes.
unintentionally threw it over the backstop, not like when Bill Murray did it at Wrigley.
Right.
There is video now, though, that has surfaced of him talking to whoever was catching the first pitch, and he had done it before and he had bounced it, and he's
Yeah.
like, and he literally was asking for tips, and the guy's like, well, just aim higher. And then they just cut right to him whipping it over, throwing it over the, like, not that high.
Anything. That's great.
He did get the ball back, though, so it rolled. It did that sad roll
Yeah.
down
Drip, drip, drip.
and fell onto the field, and they handed it back to him.
Okay.
I think I ran through all my stuff.
You did?
I did. I didn't say I did a lot of prep. I just said I did some.
It's seamless. It's as if you weren't reading off something. It's like it seems like you did it from extemporaneously.
Yeah. Oh, I'm nothing if not professional.
There is one thing. I mean, something that I'm thinking about, kind of. The interesting moves with the Twins getting
Oh, yeah.
Carlos Correa back and one of their hottest hitters and top prospects, Lewis, and he's got a
Royce.
first name, Royce Lewis.
Royce Lewis.
And they sent him down because he doesn't have any, they not gonna have anywhere to play him at short. They didn't apparently think about this when they signed Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
It's like, well, maybe you want to go to some third base and some second base, but
It did seem like poor planning because I saw that they basically the plan, and maybe this is a plan they came up with after they started getting heavily criticized, was, oh no, we're sending him back to AAA, but he's gonna that's to get him some reps at other positions, so that we'll bring him back and then he'll be able to play second or left. We don't just want to have him, he only played short in the minors, this year, and we don't want to, say, okay, whatever. I mean, if he had. That's why every team should have Joe Maddon as manager. Joe would just rotate him around like pitch to pitch. Royce, go play second. Okay, what is the count now? 2-1. Royce, go to left. And he's just running all over. Never even trying to change gloves. That's like.
There's a certain, way of doing things. Well, you're a professional. You'll get it. That's what the White Sox have been doing with Andrew Vaughn, putting him in right field,
Right.
third
You'll
base.
be fine. Don't worry about it. What are the odds the ball will get hit to you anyway? Ooh, there it comes.
Unfortunately, high.
Well, that's kind of like that's not kind of like at all, but I don't know why, but it made me think of this. Under Joe, the Cubs changed the way they defended bunts to the point where Rizzo, the most fearless
Right on top of
yeah, basically he'd like old Jeff Bagwell to stand basically right on top of the plate and just let you hit it at him as hard as you want. Somebody, I think maybe the Brewers, complained that he wasn't playing first base. So he couldn't wear a first base mitt. Because you can only wear a first base mitt at first base. Did you know this?
I believe I remember when that I remember I did not know that before
Yeah, I
this
didn't either.
controversy. I'd since forgotten this,
So when the
but you're
Cubs would
reminded.
shift, someone would have to bring a different glove out for Anthony Rizzo to wear
Yes,
until the
yeah.
bunt was over, and then he could switch back to his glove. It's like, I think maybe we're. Who was the pitcher who they, I think it was a Cardinal. I hope it was a Cardinal. They determined that his glove was too light.
Yeah,
And so the
I
Cardinals
remember
actually brought out like two choices and asked
that.
the ump which one would be okay.
Anything you like? Was it Giovanni Gallegos?
Like, are either one of these acceptable? It was
Hey,
like
this
they
dog
brought the
sucks. What do you
dessert
think?
card out, and they're like,
Right.
okay,
For the
I'll have
rack
the.
of spurs and Goodfellas.
I'll take the mink and the black forest cake, and the black glove with the white trim. Okay, good.
I just saw something else that is sort of related to the what you mentioned about Rizzo's mitt. And it's a mitt. It's a first baseman's mitt, a second baseman's glove. Anyway, because it's got them.
Catchers and
Have
first
to be.
basemen get mitts, and everybody else has to wear a
Yes.
glove.
Right. Like an oven mitt, kind of. It's easy to understand that way. Until like 1950, it wasn't codified that it was that the home team would bat first or last. It was kind of a tradition that it became, an unwritten rule that was real, but it wasn't put in the rules until like after 1950 that the home team bats last.
So did they used to do the thing where they would go out, they'd have, and they were exchanging lineup cards. They would hold the bat, and the guys would put their hands on it, and he would try to see who could get their hand on the top of the bat last. Is that how they
You
were
have
thinking?
to think that that happened at some
Yeah,
point.
I never
Somebody.
understood how you won that. Is it the guy who put his hand on like the top of the knob? Is
Yeah,
that?
like covered it. Yes, like over the top. Absolutely. I mean, that's how we did it when we were kids. So yes, I'm going to say that's how they did it when they were adults. But I found that interesting that that was not a rule. You would think that that would be a rule that they would want to put that down legally, but
Well, we
I'm not sure. Captain.
did a podcast a few months ago with Kelly Dwyer, and we talked about how ridiculous it was that in basketball, it took like first they used the peach basket, then it took like 3 years to figure out to maybe cut a hole in the bottom of the peach basket, but they only cut one out big enough to put a stick in to pop the ball out with.
Like,
Then, like 5 years later, they finally
you're
figured
so
out
close.
maybe just cut a hole big enough for the ball, and then we don't have to. But they were only scoring like four baskets a game.
Well, and then you'd score a basket, and then they'd do a jump
Yeah,
ball.
you have to go do a jump ball. So did you know this about football? Apparently, it's in the rules, even in the NFL rules, and Bill Belichick's going to find a reason to do this at some point. When you give up a touchdown, it's your choice whether you kick or receive. You could literally, a team scores on you, and you have the right, if you want, you could kick the ball back to them. But it was just over time, no, obviously, why wouldn't you want the ball? That they stopped asking. It just
I
became an
think
automatic. You score a touchdown and you kick off. You know,
that
you
sounds
give up
like
a
something the
touchdown, you
Bears
get
would
the
think
ball.
about.
Well, it's kind of, remember Marty Morningweg
Yeah.
down in Champaign decided to won the toss and kicked off in overtime because of the wind and the fact that the Bears' offense was terrible. And somehow, in fact, I think we did this on Remember This Crap, the football edition, and we realized that Marty took a bunch of shit, but both teams had the ball in overtime. So it's not, when you remember it, it's, oh, Marty, they kicked off, the Bears came right on the field and scored. I don't think that's what happened. I think I remember that we realized that it went back and forth. They end up losing. And so, of course, he's a dunce. He wanted the win more than he wanted the ball to start overtime. And he's Marty Morningweg. It's a terrible name with a weird H towards the end of it. And
Yeah, you never know where to put it.
no. Is it earwig? No. Morning wag.
Well, everything has to be unusual about those Western Pennsylvania guys,
Yeah.
how they talk or how they spell their names, how they chew their gum.
And I learned something today that I didn't know, or maybe it was yesterday. So the Pacific Coast League is now using the automated strike zone. The machines are calling balls and strikes. What I learned today was there's a Pacific Coast League again. Because I didn't know
They
that. They, for what, 2 years, right? It was like AAA West. Some horrible nondescript name. And they rebranded again this year and went back to the Pacific Coast League. And I think even changed some of the team names back to like traditional. I don't know if Portland got to be the Beavers again or whatever it was, but the Rainiers. And I didn't know any of that till today because I'm like, there is no Pacific Coast League. And I Googled it and I was like, oh, there is. And they have a new logo and it's kind of pretty. So is there an American Association again then?
Well, that was
Because wasn't
it's
that
the
the other
International League.
half? Oh, yeah, the International League.
The International, there were three of them,
Okay.
at least three AAA leagues, right? The International League, the American Association hasn't been around for a while.
Okay.
They folded,
So it was,
but
so
I
the
think there
two,
is a
so the two were the Pacific Coast League and the International League. That was
yes.
basically the
Although
East
when
and
we were
West.
kids, there was an American
Yeah,
Association
because
too.
the Iowa Cubs were in it.
Okay.
It was like the middle, the American Association was the middle of the country.
Right.
Okay. Because I loved it when they realigned and Des Moines was in the Pacific Coast League. Because it's
Right.
really, it is beautiful. You know, the S's are silent, and so is the seashore in Des Moines.
There's a river, right? Somewhere.
I don't know. I know when you drive through Iowa, there's a tree and a couple of hills and then a lot of flat. Not to besmirch Nebraska again, but I will because their governor is a scumbag Cub owner. When I drove to Colorado, you get past Omaha, and oh, there is nothing. There is nothing in Nebraska. It's until you get to Ogallala. I stayed at the Grey Goose Hotel in Ogallala, Nebraska, and they were remodeling it. But it was cheap, and the room I was in was a remodeled room, so I'm like, that's fine. But they put me on the first floor right by the parking lot. Like, so I'm like, ugh. So I took the desk and put it in front of the door. I'm like, just in case. Somebody, if they want to break in and kill me, they're going to make a lot of noise before they get to me. So if you're ever in Ogallala, I highly recommend the Grey Goose Hotel.
I'll make a note of it.
Beautiful. Right there off route, whatever. Oh, I know what else I wanted to talk to you about. So it seems now like all the teams in the American League East are spending a lot of time making fun of each other's ballparks. We talked, was it last week? We talked about Aaron Boone being able to do the math on the 99% of was it was so then
It would have been a home run, never
Aaron Judge
percent.
would have hit three homers in Baltimore the other day, except for the weird reconfigured left field. And so then he was bitching about their, whatever he called their erector set of a ballpark. Why do we know the logic behind the Orioles? Because it's aesthetically not pleasing.
Oh no,
They have
it's
a
not. It looks.
beautiful ballpark, and they seem to change the dimensions for no reason, and it just looks dumb.
Well, at
Was it?
some, I think it's probably a delayed. I don't know for a fact the answer because I was thinking about this today. I'm like, we're complaining. I know people complain like there's too many home runs, and that's where it started. It was like, Gleyber Torres would play the Orioles
That's what I was gonna say.
and
Did
hit.
all of Glaber's homers fall there? And they're like,
Yes.
just push the wall back. They would all be outs or
Right.
doubles. We'll be fine.
I think that is the genesis of
Okay.
it.
So it's Glaber's fault.
And there's too many home runs. And then, well, there isn't too many home runs anymore. So I think it's just the red tape or maybe people were giving pushback. It's like, no, you don't want to do this to Camden Yards because Aaron Judge is going to make a funny quip about it.
Yeah.
But I think that's what at some point, people decided there's too many home runs. All right, we're going to help our pitching staff out and make it bigger. I think that is the genesis of it. That's the only thing that makes sense because it looks ugly, and now people aren't really hitting home runs like they used to. So, and the ball's mushy. So, and there's a human there.
Yeah, and they didn't even give it like there's just like there's a 90-degree angle in it. It just like comes out and it's like it just looks awful. At
It
least.
looks like you. They're like, oh, the Colts are coming back
Yeah,
and they're gonna
that's
play, and then we've got to make an end zone.
right. Burt Jones needs extra room over here, so we'll be
Yes.
fine.
No, it's terrible. And I
It looks like it
there's
could be undone in a day,
well, you
the
would
way
hope
they did
so.
it.
I hope that they are just they are maybe they put the rest of the left field in the warehouse and they can go and get it and put it back. Maybe they can, come back from a road trip and it'll be there.
I mean, it's kind of like so the Cubs famously, when they got rid of the bullpens, actually this was before the first just the reconfiguration of it. They thought they had enough room for a football field until Northwestern and Illinois tried to play there. Like, wait a minute, no, they're gonna run into the
Maybe, yeah,
wall.
it's
It's like,
what?
hey, Bronco Nagurski used to run into the wall all the time.
Right.
Look, he turned out fine. It's like, oh, well, we're not wearing leather helmets. We're not gonna run into the wall. So they had to go the same way the whole game. That was great. So then when they redid it and they got rid of the bullpens or moved the bullpens, they hid them under the bleachers. Those seats now are removable, and they did it last year because they had who was it? Purdue and Northwestern, I think, played, and they could actually. It still though they still could barely put a field in
Right.
there. Like they must have added like 2 feet. It must have just been enough to make the Big Ten. Like, well, did the check clear? Yes, fine, you can play.
Right.
But it looks like such an ordeal to take that apart. It's like this. How was this the best solution? Seriously, guys. For the one college football game you're going to host, you're doing
Right.
all this stuff, and I know they want to have a bowl game, because that's just what everybody wants to do. They want to go play a football game in Wrigley Field in December. Oh, that'd be awesome! What a treat! And what is that? The bowl game for like the last place team in the MAC? They have to
Right.
go.
Well, yeah, the seventh place
Oh no,
team
we
in
got
the
to go to Wrigley.
MAC versus the
Oh.
fifth place team in the
That's right.
MAC.
They said they'd put metal garbage cans on the sidelines and let us start fires in them. We'll be fine. Can warm right up.
It's like people don't learn from their stadium history. The cookie cutter stadiums of the 70s where, they'd put everything on wheels and they'd move it around
Yeah.
and it would be this huge ordeal. And it's like, oh no, we can just squeeze it in there. That's, and they did not learn anything from the past.
No, they always look bad. Like out in San Francisco, they were playing like the California Almond Bowl,
Yeah.
and you could kind of go. They could put a field sideways in whatever it is now, Oracle Park, I guess. And it just looked stupid on TV. And it's like, oh, what are we doing here? I don't get the. I guess what.
And they when they started to make the Camden Yards Progressive Field, Comiskey Park, I guess, stadiums of the 90s, it's like, no, we want football over here and this in their own stadium and baseball only for the aesthetics of that. And then all of a sudden, well, that's not important anymore. So you can tell there were a couple of changes at the executive level and people forgot about that.
Well, it's like at Soldier Field, explanation for the longest time. It was, they can't grow grass there. They've tried a million times. All they do, by October, they're
Certainly
just
can.
painting the dirt green. And everybody's like, why don't you just switch to field turf? I mean, just bite the bullet. At first, they're like, oh, no, football was meant to be played on grass. It's like, yeah, well, you want a Super Bowl playing on, the shitty, the world's worst AstroTurf. The
Yes.
stuff was like a quarter of an inch thick. It was like playing on a parking lot. Then their ex thing was, like a season would start, and they'd be like, well, no, it's too late. We can't do it now. Except they, the Patriots made them look bad because Patriots early in a season, the field was torn up, and Bob Kraft is like, screw this. We're putting field turf in. They put it in, like the Patriots had two road games in a row. They tore out their old field, they put field turf in, and they played the Bears on the first game with the new turf, and it was fine. And like, okay, you can't use that excuse. So then the excuse they used was, well, no, we want Soldier Field to still be in there if when the US gets the World Cup again, if you don't have a grass field, you can't host a game. It's like, okay, what? When are we going to host the World Cup again? And if we do, what are the odds you're going to have a game in Chicago? And if you do, it's like, you p plant some fucking, put sod on the field
Yes.
for 2 weeks.
Yes. Right.
But it'll be interesting to see what they have in the McCaskey Dome in Arlington Heights. I would guess they have to make it a dome. They're gonna have to put turf in it. They can put the fancy turf like they have in LA that looks like grass. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
The Raiders, I don't know if you noticed this. So they have a field like the Arizona Cardinals do, where they can pull the field out to get it some sun, and then they
Right.
can slide it back in. So that's fine. Except their field is terrible. Whenever the Raiders play on it, it's just clumps of shit everywhere. What makes it more infuriating is UNLV uses that stadium too, and they play on turf. It's under the, when the Raiders wheel the grass out, there's a
Yeah.
full field turf field there.
Right.
It's like, maybe use that one. It's there. Just
Right.
how about we don't push the dead grass back in this week? Huh?
And under that, there's a swimming pool that George Bailey designed.
That's right. Right, well, that's enough for turf talk for this week.
Copyright or yeah,
Yeah, it's,
R.
I got us a sponsorship from AstroTurf. Is AstroTurf still a thing? Well, I mean, to bring it back to baseball, when they built the Astrodome,
Yeah.
the panels in the roof were clear
And
so
put
that
grass.
they could grow grass in the Astrodome. The problem was when anybody hit a fly ball, nobody could find the ball.
Right.
So they had to paint the roof, and then all the grass died.
Right.
So then they had to invent AstroTurf. And that's why we have AstroTurf, and that's why it was called AstroTurf.
Right. That's why Wendell Davis's knees exploded.
Oh, yes, they're still. Oh, I remember the description of that. Where that hit, both of his kneecaps were up in his thighs.
Oh my God.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
Did you know though, to make it more of a feel good, like a whole bunch of David West just died. He's 57 years
Yeah, I saw
old.
that.
He's and he played for the Phillies, and the Phillies of that time, this is 93, I guess, when he was there, which is around when Wendell went bad. Like a whole like way too many people have glioblastoma, have brain cancer. And they think that it has to do with the Veterans Stadium field being toxic.
Ooh.
And so it's like, well, Wendell, it could have been worse,
Yeah.
buddy.
Was Lenny Dykstra spared because he killed whatever it was with all the tobacco
Yeah.
juice he would spit all over center field?
That's a good point. Yeah,
I mean,
Darren Dahl.
I told that story a couple of weeks ago, right? I'm watching Jeremy Burnett kill the grass in right field at Miller
Right.
Park. But I used to love they would show like, the Phillies would be at, and the would be at bat, and they would show the big like, hey, you could tell where Lenny usually stayed. They'd show the outfield, it's just this brown stain all over the AstroTurf out there. Yeah. Actually, bringing that up, So on the Cubs were on the Apple TV Plus broadcast this last week. They were on YouTube on Wednesday, but last Friday they were on Apple TV Plus.
So much innovation.
Yes. Actually, those are the only games they've lost. They don't like streaming. They like
Right.
good old fashioned cable, like God intended. They need to be on cable TV.
Right.
They were talking about the crew that night was Steven Nelson, Cliff Floyd, and Katie Nolan. They were doing the game. And they were talking about Pavin Smith. And Katie was telling the story about how Pavin Smith got his name. Do you know how Pavin Smith got his name?
I don't.
His dad is a sports agent, and among his clients are professional golfers.
No kidding.
And he
Corey.
is he named after Corey Pavin. Couldn't they have named him Corey? But anyway.
Right.
So he named him Pavin Smith. Now, there were a couple of weird things that happened after this. The very next batter in the Diamondbacks lineup is Dalton Varsho. They didn't say a word about that.
Oh,
Isn't the
man, it's so
natural
poor.
thing? He's named, it's even spelled Dalton because he's named after Darren Dalton.
Right.
They didn't catch on that. But then Cliff made a joke and said, "Well, I'm named after Don Cornelius." And Katie and Steven didn't laugh and they didn't get it. I got it. I was chuckling at home and my watching it
He's
because
given
Cliff Floyd's name is Cornelius Clifford
right.
Floyd. But without either of the other people playing along, nobody knew. They couldn't ask him like, "What do you mean?" Or
Right. We'll just afraid to.
it just hung there and
Right.
then died. So I made fun of the Cornelius part, but honestly, the Dalton part was worse. Because it's like he's literally the next batter. You
Right.
just told this story.
Right. And
And they.
it's much more interesting because Corey Pavin played was a golfer
Yeah.
and Darren Dalton was a baseball player who was apparently killed by Veterans Stadium.
That's terrible. Thankfully, Gary Varsho, spent enough time with the Cubs. Apparently, the natural grass counteracted.
Right. It's like iodine from nuclear rads.
I mean, there was a time, for whatever reason, when I was a kid, I was like obsessed with the extra outfielders the Cubs would have, who were mostly just pinch hitters,
Right.
like Richie Hebner. It went like Richie Hebner to Henry Cotto. Two Henry Cotto references in one podcast today. To Thad Bosley,
Yep. Great
to
center.
Gary Varsho. That was
Yeah.
kind of the that was kind of it went.
Right. That's the progression.
Yes.
The lore, the
Like Gary Woods didn't count because he was just there because somebody had to catch the fly balls late in the game because the Gary Matthews wasn't going to
Sorry.
catch.
Yeah.
So they had to change Gary's late in games. But have we put in the other Gary yet? No, we're still on Gary one. Put Gary two in. I always had an affinity for Cub bums. I don't know why. Big fan of Domingo Ramos for some reason.
Yeah.
And we had one kid on our little league team who had to wear his glasses when he played. And we were little. This was like when we were 8 and 9. And he became Tom Verizer. I'm sure he loved. He didn't know who it was. At some point, he probably saw a baseball card and went, "Man,
That guy,
that's
yeah.
why they call me that." It could have been worse. We could have called him Tim Foley.
That's cute though. I like that.
That is something though, when you look back at like, and I thought of this because today somebody tweeted out a cast photo of the original cast of Cheers and put their ages on it at the time and how much older people used to look. Like the great Ernie Pantuso, coach. Do you know how old he was?
51.
He was 58.
Right.
In the show, you would have thought he was like in his
No.
70s.
Yeah, at least 10 years
But the
older,
best
but yeah.
part was Norm and Cliff were like 34 and 35.
Right.
And they both looked like they were in their 50s
Yeah,
easily.
especially Cliff, but
But
yeah.
it's the same thing when you look back at old baseball players.
Right.
Like Phil Garner looked like he was, 45 years old, but he was 22.
Yes. Well, Honus Wagner looked like he's got one foot in the grave for crying out loud.
What are you, in your 60s? 18. Oh. Ooh.
Why are you named Hannes? No one's named that. That's not a name in nature.
All right, I think we'll end on the we should always end the podcast on a Honus Wagner anecdote.
All
That'll be
right.
our new thing. We get to the Did you guys make it all the way to the Honus Wagner segment? No, we bail. We bail a long time before that.
Bruce McNall's trading cards. I don't want to ruin the next Honus Wagner reference. Sorry, I just did. That's
all
the
right,
only
well,
one.
you enjoy your trip. If people don't know you're going out to DC, say hi to Ted Cruz for me.
Yeah. I hope I run into him and the lanky. Yeah, well, I'll give you a review of National Stadium. It's one I have not been to. So,
yeah, in fact, somebody's like, can you imagine if they trade Juan Soto? Somebody's gonna burn that stadium down. And my joke was, not if they do it after 10 o'clock and the last train is left.
Right.
All right. Well, yeah. So it'll probably be a couple of weeks, and then we will do this again.
Okay. Thanks, Andy.
All right. Hey, thanks.
Many of us have herpes.